Good afternoon. Chaplain John Hanks.
To the mayor and the council and the people that have gathered today, let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as is being done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Musley.
Here.
Mr. Grable.
Here.
Mr. Molliver.
Here.
Mr. Wardell.
Here.
Ms. Rich.
Here.
New employees. Joshua Earhart, Electric Department. Kyle Kalbaugh, Electric Department. Christopher Maxson, Fire Department. Loretta Jackson, Procurement Department. Jordan Pettinati, Public Works Department. Austin Thompson, Public Works Department. Thank you all for coming, and I hope you gain something from this meeting. Public notice.
A March 19, 2019 City Council meeting was publicly noticed on February 21, 2019. As a reminder, public comments and presentations are limited to 3 minutes unless authorized to extend beyond that time by the Council President. All materials for the Mayor and City Council must be given to the attending staff for distribution. Prior to speaking at the podium, please state your name and address for the record, and to maintain order, speakers must be recognized by the Council President. Please silence your cell phones and all electronic devices for the duration of this meeting. Thank you.
Proclamations and awards. FSAWWA Region 2 Best Tasting Drinking Water Contest Award, Elizabeth McAllister and City Water Resources staff.
Hello, thank you for having me today. My name is Elizabeth McAllister, and I am the chair of Region 11 of the Florida section of the American Water Works Association. On March 4th, we held our region's contest for the best tasting drinking water. Our region is composed of 12 counties in North Central Florida, and fortunate enough, the City of Ocala Water Treatment Plant won this year's Best Tasting Drinking Water Award. So they will go on to compete for the state title in April in Tampa at the Florida Water Resources Conference. So at this time, I'd like to present to them with their award.
Would all of you all come up here?
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Throw that away, huh?
Would you all stand and take a picture?
Talk to Rachel.
Sean, you all have anything to say?
You already did.
Came out of your refrigerator in here, Sean.
Yeah. 3B Service Award, Roseanne Moreland, 30 years. Is that Gracie? Hey, Gracie.
How's it help with Lucy?
Oh, wow.
So, Roseanne has worked for the city of Cal Fire Rescue for 30 years. She has held the rank of paramedic fire captain for the last 22 years. To a grant, she bought a battle that first rescue team named Gracie in Austin Dodge. Her company, Roseanne, was a huge representative of College of Central Florida, as well as promoting dog-like safety education to our elementary school children. After 30 years of probably serving our community, Roseanne was supported to continue with efforts to serve and educate our community. She's done an outstanding job for the city, and I really appreciate all the work she's done. Congratulations on your 30 years of service.
Congratulations. I got a picture.
Congratulations. This is my favorite scene. Double I. It's crazy.
John got some matches in his pocket or something?
Uh-oh.
Dwayne Drake, 30 years.
No way Dwayne's been here 30 years.
So with Dwayne, Dwayne wrote his own bio for the evening. Staff, you know, Dwayne was a crisis viewer, and he comes across his page, and staff sanitized his bio. It was so sanitized that I refused to read it. So, following his graduation from the University of Central Florida, Wayne began his journey working for the city of Ocala until something better would come along. On March 3rd, 1989, being hired by then downtown development manager Lisa Thompson at a parking enforcement coordinator. However, he also assisted her with the downtown development project. After 5 years of the downtown in decline, he went to work in the zoning department in 1994 as a zoning and license inspector. Then in 1995, he went to work for the recreational parks department as a park ranger and enforcement supervisor, which also included coordinating rentals and registration for special events. In 1996, he then promoted to the parks operations and development supervisor, later changed to parks superintendent and chief of park operations. Managing parks maintenance, he worked in that capacity until 2008. At that time, after more than 14 years in the recreation park department, he moved to the public works department. Once there, he spent short period of time managing contracts, facility maintenance, traffic division, stormwater division, street division. Following some organization changes, he became division head for the street division. After moving there for 2 years in that capacity, 2011, he moved to the sanitation division. I think that any job is online. Position is still going to hold. Now, after a span of 30 years, he's a great team manager. He's a great team manager. He's a great team manager. He's a great team manager.
Next is 4A, presentation of Marion County 175th anniversary pins. Jean Rickman, Assistant County Administrator.
Good afternoon, Madam President, Council Members. I am Jeannie Rickman. I'm an Assistant County Administrator for the county. And on behalf of the county or the Board of County Commissioners, I wanted to share with you a little bit of information on the celebration of the 175th anniversary, if I may. The event is on March 30th. It is beginning at 10 a.m. You all are totally invited as far as that to come and enjoy the many festivities that we have going on. Much of that is, it includes the historical and educational forum that we have, many storytellers. We have entertainment, and of course we've got food. You've always got to have food with any of these events. Games, kids activities. We have a scavenger hunt that is going on currently for the month of March, and so winners will be announced that day on the 30th. And then also March 24th, this Sunday morning, we have invited all of the local churches, the community churches within the county, to ring their bells for 30 seconds beginning at 9 a.m. So I hope everyone will get a chance to hear that, but that will commemorate the celebration or the anniversary. One final thing is that we also have a time capsule, and I believe we have sent, I hope we have anyway, sent some information to you and your staff. We invite you to add something to the time capsule. There will be a ceremonial event for the placement of that time capsule at a meeting, at our first meeting in May, by the Board of County Commissioners. But those items that you wish to place in the capsule will be on display also on March 30th at the auditorium. We have a video as well. It will run 15 minutes on the hour, every hour within the auditorium, of a historical video from some speakers that you may have heard in the past. But it is very enlightening, and I think you all would enjoy it. So with that, if I may, and I can't go without saying that I want to thank many of your staff who have been in attendance with our partner meetings of bringing this event together. And so I just want to say thank you on behalf of the board. So with that, I do have lapel pins that I'd like to present to you all.
City Council, we have received an invitation to include items in the time capsule, and we're currently working on that.
I suggest we put Jimmy Gooding in there.
We are going to put Dwayne Drake's original application for employment in there. But we're also going to have a number of departments represented on the 28th at the county event, so a number of departments will have information on display and participate in that process. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
One last thing. I just realized we also have a grand finale that will start 7 p.m. at our Veterans Park. Kingdom of the Sun will be performing from 7 to 8, and then fireworks will be at approximately 8:10, 8:15. So, again, we welcome to see you there.
Okay? Is that on March 30th?
It is. One big day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We don't have any public comments. We don't have any public hearings. We've got a second and final reading of ordinances.
Madam President, I move that ordinance number 2019-25 be adopted as provided by the Charter of the City of Ocala, except that adoption by sections on second reading be waived and based on staff's recommendation for case number ZON 19-0001, and other evidence presented to City Council.
Adopt ordinance 2019-25 for a zoning change from M1 light industrial to B4 general business for approximately 1.32 acres of property located at 2102 Southwest 12th Road, case ZON 19-0001, quasi-judicial.
Second.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from M1 light industrial to B4 general business for certain property located at 2102 Southwest 12th Road, Ocala, Florida, case number ZON 19-0001, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Patricia?
Okay. Thank you very much. Patty Hitchcock on behalf of the City of Ocala Growth Management Department. This rezoning from M1 to B4 is located on a cul-de-sac that is from Southeast 17th Street, south of State Road 200, and north of 19th Avenue Road. This area of light industrial is mainly undeveloped, south of the Nissan dealership and north of Automax. The property in question was developed as an office and warehouse, but the owner has been actually using it for internet auto sales. So that use is inconsistent with the M1 zoning. He's requested a rezoning to B4. Really, that has become more the nature of that area. Might not be what you would normally expect off of a main arterial, but that is how that area is being used. And so staff recommends approval of the rezoning to B4 so that his business can be consistent. He's happy there. He wants to stay there and grow.
Any discussion? Any discussion from the audience? Call the roll.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye. B, adopt ordinance 2019-26 for a zoning change from B5 wholesale business to B2 community business of approximately 2.32 acres of property located at 2135 Southwest 19th Avenue Road, case ZON 19-0002, quasi-judicial, introduced by Councilmember Jay Musley on March 6, 2019. Is that right? Some of these dates got 5th and some got 6th. We weren't here on the 5th and the 6th.
I think it was the 5th.
Yeah, the first meeting of 5th.
Yes, okay, well, this one has the 6th.
Yes, C is the 5th also, sorry.
Okay, on March 5th, 2019, presentation by Patricia Hitchcock.
Madam President, I move that ordinance number 2019-26 be adopted as provided by the Charter of the City of Ocala, except that adoption by sections on second reading be waived and based upon staff's recommendation for case ZON 19-0002 and other evidence presented to City Council.
Second.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from B5 wholesale business to B2 community business for certain property located at 2135 Southwest Avenue Road, Ocala, Florida, case number ZON 19-0002, providing for severability, providing for the appeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, Patty Hitchcock, again. This property on 19th Avenue Road has been zoned B5 for some time, and the property was developed as the Holly Plaza under that B5 zoning. It is undergoing some renovations now to be primarily medical office. In reviewing those permits, it came to our attention that when we adopted the comprehensive plan in 2013 and we changed the land use on this property, that B5 zoning was no longer consistent. We continued working with the property owners. They're moving forward with the renovations, but it's important to bring the zoning into consistency with the comprehensive plan land use designation. Staff recommends approval of this rezoning from B5 to B2.
Any discussion?
Just a quick question. Patty, is that pretty consistent? I mean, I know there's a lot of B5 around, but there is B2 across the street, right? Or across of that private drive. So
Yes, B2 is consistent in that area.
Thanks.
That's all.
Yes, ma'am.
Any discussion from the audience? Call the roll.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Malaver?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye. 6C, adopt ordinance 2019-27 for a zoning change from B4 general business to B5 wholesale business for approximately 5.24 acres of property located at 3308 Northwest Blitchton Road. Case ZON19-0003, quasi-judicial, introduced by Councilmember Brent Malaver on March 5th, 2019.
Madam President, I move that ordinance number 2019-27 be adopted as provided by the Charter of the City of Ocala. Except that adoption by exceptions on second reading be waived and based on staff's recommendations for the case number ZON19-0003 and other evidence presented to the City Council.
Second.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from B4 general business to B5 wholesale business for certain property located at 3308 Northwest Blitchton Road, Ocala, Florida. Case number ZON19-0003, providing for severability, providing for the repeal inflicted ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, Patty Hitchcock, again. This rezoning from B4 to B5 is for property located on Blitchton Road, just east of I-75, east of 35th Avenue Road that goes up to Chewy, FedEx, and AutoZone. The property owner requested the B5 zone to allow some heavier commercial uses, outdoor sales, perhaps outdoor sales of construction equipment. We reviewed with them the buffering requirements if they're doing outdoor sales so that they understand that. Staff recommends approval, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any discussion? Any discussion from the audience? Call the roll.
Mr. Malaver?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye. 6D, adopt ordinance 2019-28 to consolidate the PUD plan unit development and PD plan development zoning districts into a single PD plan development zoning district, case COD18-0004, introduced by Councilmember Matt Mardell on March 5th, 2019. Presentation by David Boston.
Madam President, I move that ordinance number 2019-28 be adopted as provided by the Charter of the City of Ocala. Except that adoption by sections on second reading be waived and based on staff's recommendation for case number COD18-0004 and other evidence presented to City Council.
Second.
An ordinance of the City of Ocala, Florida concerning zoning amending subsection 59-3, paren A, paren 1, providing for location criteria and safety standards by replacing PUD with PD, amending section 86-1, providing for definitions by amending definitions for final development order and preliminary development order, amending subsection 86-2, paren E, providing for application for certificate of capacity by deleting language related to PUDs, amending subsection 86-11, paren G, and 86-11, paren I, paren 2, by deleting language related to unplatted PUDs, amending subsection 106-1, paren A2, providing for extension of expiration dates and performance deadlines under development permits by deleting extensions related to planned unit developments, amending subsection 106-34, paren C1, providing for vested rights by deleting reference to approved planned unit developments, amending section 106-105, providing for housing incentive fund, payments and waivers of certain requirements for multi-unit or multi-single unit development, limitation by deleting references to the PUD zoning district, amending section 110-163, providing for planned unit development, PUD, or planned development, PD, by deleting references to the PUD zoning districts in the final site plan, amending section 114-3, providing for definitions by deleting a definition for planned unit development, subdivision, and PUD subdivision, amending section 114-4, providing for applicability of charter, compliance with charter, by deleting references to PUD subdivisions, repealing subsection 114-32, paren C, providing for a preconceptual plan step one procedure, repealing subsection 114-33, paren 4, providing for preconceptual plan step one, contents and data, repealing subsection 114-34, paren J, providing for conceptual plan step two procedure, repealing subsection 114-35, paren 27, providing for conceptual plan step two, contents and supplementary materials, amending section 122-91, providing for generally by replacing PUD with PD, amending subsection 122-241, paren 7, providing for zoning districts by replacing references to the PUD zoning district with reference to the PD zoning district, amending subsection 122-244, paren B, providing for district criteria by deleting references to the PUD zoning district, repealing Chapter 122, Article 5, Division 28, providing for planned unit development districts and placing its sections in reserve, amending Section 122-940, providing for intent and purpose by clarifying the intent of the PD zoning district, amending Subsection 122-941B, providing for rezoning by amending the locational and use requirements, amending subsection 122-942, paren A4, providing for standards by adding an open space requirement for single-use residential PD projects and clarifying existing open space requirements, amending section 122-943, providing for PD plan application / materials by clarifying the intent and moving requirements from the site plan or conceptual subdivision plan site regarding landscape, streetscapes, signage, and architectural design to the PD plan stage, and requiring evidence that a required neighborhood meeting was conducted, amending section 122-944, providing for site plans or conceptual subdivision plans for property zone PD by clarifying the intent, deleting required public hearings for site plans, and deleting phasing, landscaping, and streetscape design requirements that are moved to the PD plan phase, repealing section 122-945, providing for development time limits, amending section 122-946, providing for changes to approved PD plans by mandating public hearings when substantial changes are made to the PD plans, and adding changes to design standards as substantial changes that requires council approval, amending section 122-948, providing for previously approved PUD zoning, adding section 122-949, providing for neighborhood meetings, amending section 122-1042, providing for definitions by amending the definition for residential, amending subsection 122-1241, paren B, providing for applicability of division by replacing PUD with PD, providing for severability, providing for the appeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Before you explain, can we get another planner to write our ordinances?
Replacement.
We were warned before.
Can we get a replacement, David?
They say the best.
Go ahead.
I'm getting a no from Patty on that. Good afternoon, David Boston, Growth Management Department. I'd like to start by formally apologizing to everyone in this room. This ordinance does three major things. The first is that it consolidates the PUD and the PD zoning districts into one zoning district. They're both kind of set up to do the same thing. It's a zoning district where the requirements for development can be flexibly decided through the development plan approval process. The PUD zoning district is older. The PD zoning district was created later. This basically absorbs the PUD zoning district into the PD zoning district. The second major change that this ordinance does is it consolidates the conceptual site development plan and the final development plan that were previously required for the PD plan approval process. There were requirements that were kind of applicable to the entire PD development in both steps, but the final development plan step can be applied to site-specific areas inside of a larger PD development. And so it was a very clunky process. It proved to be very convoluted. Sometimes we had two different engineering groups working on the same plan. And so this consolidates those two plans into one, shows everything in one plan. It's more transparent that way, more efficient. The third major thing that this ordinance does is it introduces a neighborhood meeting requirement. This is something that a lot of applicants have decided to do even without it being a requirement. It's proved to be really helpful in these plan development processes because it lets the community nearby see what's being proposed. With the plan development process, it can be very up in the air because the requirements are decided with the PD plan. And having a neighborhood meeting really helps to make that much more transparent, lets people ask questions, lets people really kind of get a better handle on what this development's going to be like. If you have any questions about the specifics, I'm happy to answer them for you.
Would you repeat what you said? I didn't know.
Yes, so this ordinance does three major things.
Any questions?
No, ma'am.
Any questions from the audience, or did you all understand everything? Call the roll.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Ms. Ritz?
Aye. Thank you, David. You do a great job. I just like to tease you. General business. Approved conceptual plan for the Ocala Community Center at Reed Place. Presentation by Kathy Crowell.
Kathy Crowell, Recreation and Parks Director. This agenda item furthers the city's strategic goals of quality of place. The city's consultant, Wanamaker Jensen Architects, has completed a series of stakeholder meetings, community workshops, and city council workshops to gain input needed to prepare a final report for the Ocala Community Center project. At this time, I'll ask that Jason Jensen present the final report and conceptual plans. Please toggle your screens.
So about planned unit development. Pleasure to be here, Jason Jensen, Wanamaker Jensen. It's been a pleasure working with your staff, with your community, to come to the culmination of this vision that we started on that path with you, Ms. Rich, and we're happy to see it come to this step. So we have an Ocala Community Center that we can wrap our arms around now. We planted a seed at Reed Place, and we've developed a site plan around that location that fits within your existing grounds. We've provided a community center that can also have an event garden, a playground, work with your existing Lillian Bryant Park, and we are showing a first tee facility that is not in the budget, but we're making sure that we have accommodations to provide for those future facilities. But the site is wooded, and we can harness that to provide a great environment for a lot of these outdoor locations and something different than some of your other locations. With the program document, we worked really closely with staff and the community to develop what's in this center, make sure that it's really going to serve the public. The highlights are that we are dealing with an overall 42,000 square foot building, the first floor being 32,000 square feet, and the second level being 9,500 square feet approximately. And we do have two phases that I'll speak to just a little bit more. The first phase being 25,000 square feet, which gets you all of your large multipurpose rooms, all of your nuclear functions with that. And then the 17,000 would be the phase two, which would be the double gym and the track associated with that on the second level. When you look at the plan, you can see how that second phase is highlighted in yellow. And we've designed this to accommodate that you have nothing lost between phase one. Whenever that phase one happens, that would be designed as an alternate. So it's designed all together, but that's as an alternate. If we can get it in the base budget, we do. If it comes a little bit later, we've not lost anything within the design. So very efficient on how it's been laid out. We're conscious with this design to be efficient with our central space and to provide community within a commons, not just a hallway, but something that has a real center to it. So everything feeds off the center area. So the south of the plan would be the entry to the parking lot and drop-off. As you come into the facility, you're greeted with all of the programming off of that central commons with the fitness, the indoor play, the large multi-purpose room with plenty of pre-function space for those events. And all of these functions with the play, fitness, and with the future gym would be very visible from the street and the community because we want them to invite them to come and participate. As you come and exit the building to the north, you would attach to the event lawn and to the future park to the north, potentially, and allow that growth to happen there. It's all a little bit more secluded. Perhaps weddings, things of that sort could happen there, and then come inside to the multi-purpose room for the reception, per se. Move upstairs. Those lines that go across, that means that that's open to below. So those are spaces that are taller. So the central space goes up two stories. All of your corridors look in on that space, so you have a true atrium effect, which helps from security, but also helps make it a lot more inviting. The fitness center and the play features are two stories, so you would have a cardio deck that looks into the fitness, and that also attaches to the running track so that you can accommodate all of those new type of CrossFit fitness. And then the running track moves around, accommodate all that indoor walking and running without interrupting the play on the first level. The program highlights this is completely directed by the stakeholders and staff for what the needs of the community are, and focusing on intergenerational, how this can really serve all ages in our community well and uniquely, and not cross some of your other facilities. And highlighting where those happen in the building, you can see that the multipurpose is still echoing that the Largo Community Center that we toured with Ms. Rich, and the other multipurpose rooms we designed to accommodate different size functions and be able to be interchanged and flexible for the changing uses to keep this building relevant for many years to come. The outdoor terrace is also a rentable space that connects to that event garden that we mentioned. Moving on to the next, see the kitchen serves both the event lawn and serves the interior and also serves as a catering kitchen for the multipurpose. We're getting a lot of usage out of that. Fitness, all those machines would be tuned to different ages. And then moving up to the second level, we have some of our quieter functions on the second level. So your library, media center, your seniors are in a little bit quieter. They don't have necessarily people running by those corridors. That's very intentional. With the elevations, this is conceptual, but we're echoing some of the other facilities that you're doing right now in the city. We're also making sure that we have glass that exposes some of those functions to the outside and provides advertisement for the facility and provides that natural light. See a rendering of the potential entry. You can see the double height, how much natural light is coming into the facility, and that view would be through the entire building. You would see from front to back to the more of the event lawn, event garden in the back. Really excited about the entry, what this could be like. You know, this is a first-class facility. This is something that represents the pride of the community, where this community is going, and we are planting a seed that will grow and provide a much larger venue opportunity, a place to help build this section of the community truly around this center. So we're excited about where this has gone and the involvement, and that this is a center of the community and designed by the community, and appreciate being a part of it. Thank you, Ms. Rich and Council, for supporting the project, and thank you, staff, for assisting every step of the way. Thank you.
Any questions for Jason?
No.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Jason.
We very much enjoyed working with you also, Jason, and your team. You've done a fantastic job, and appreciate staff support on this, as well as city council and the public. So thank you for that.
Does anyone in the audience have any questions for Jason?
All right.
Yes, Rich, I make a motion to approve the conceptual plan for the Ocala Community Center.
Second.
All right.
Mr. Rich, you mind if I say something real quick?
I just want to thank John. As you guys probably saw in that rendering, there's a place there for First Tee. And I know that they're being displaced out of Pine Oaks, so, helping them find a home, but letting them do the work and paying for it, but just carving that out for them, I think was a big deal, and thank you for getting that done.
We're encouraged by that.
Yeah. It'd be a nice addition.
Yeah.
So if council approves the conceptual plan, as Mr. Wardell had motioned, we will get busy with preparing bid documents to get this out. It'll probably be a couple-of-month process and then a six-month process for design and construction documents, and we hope to start the project at the latter part of the year.
So when should it be up?
12 months from probably December of 2020.
2020. Yeah. Call the roll.
Okay. Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. Mosley?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Thank you,
Jason.
Thank you.
Approved contract with Florida Safety Contractors, Inc. for construction of CDBG funded.
This is Rich. We have B on here. I'm sorry.
Approved for proposed conceptual plans for the MLK First Responder Campus. Presentation by Aubrey Hale.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Aubrey Hale, Growth Management Department for City of Ocala. So in November 2018, city staff, along with JSA Architects, began schematic design for a new first responder campus that will be located on along MLK, just north of the train tracks that run adjacent to Madison Street Elementary. Project will include the relocation of fire station number 3, as well as fire admin, fire storage, and fire museum, along with a new police substation that would be similar to Northeast 8th Avenue substation, along with some community engagement areas and a fuel island. The fuel island would aid in the ability for first responders to more quickly traverse the city. By having quicker access to fuel islands that will be strategically located throughout the city. In 2010, the city embarked on the Ocala 2035 vision, and with that spawned an update of the comprehensive plan and subsequently the West Ocala community and vision plans. And in that identified some principles and described what the community wanted to look like in the future. The comprehensive plan categorized 5 land areas as special districts, and those special districts aim to provide a more urban, walkable form of development. This proposed site is adjacent to the Crosskey Commons special district area and tries to take some cues from that special district. Even though it's just outside of it, it's still trying. We took those elements of the special district to as cues for the development. So as you can see, The buildings are pushed closer towards the street. Excuse me. Pushed closer towards the street with a more formalized edge along MLK, with more of the utilitarian service areas in the back, as well as a community area within between the fire station and the police substation. Here's an up close view of the fire station. As the last presentation noted, we were trying to coordinate some of the design elements between the community center and the first responder campus, so we took some of the same similar cues and utilized some higher transparency, brought in more of an elevated tower look for the fire station, and began to use those as kind of organizing elements throughout the rest of the project. Here's another view of the community center with a future basketball court that could double as some event space. And another view, so the community room is designed primarily as like a flex space. So it could be the fire museum, could be training room for the fire, could also be a community room and hold other types of events. On the right side of that image is a public art space as well, so providing just a space and then so we can start to interact later on with some other different types of public art. The police station is actually the exact same footprint that we used on the 8th Avenue campus, but we just put a different skin on it and provided a canopy on the back. Again, here's a street view of the along MLK. And another view looking at the basketball court and the community room. But again, the idea was to provide a public safety campus, but also ways that the campus can engage with the community and provide some other aspects. And kind of be more, you know, integrated into the overall area. So with that, city staff looks for approval of the concept. If you have any questions, I'm available.
So move.
Second.
Any questions?
I'm just excited to see this and you know, Aubrey, thanks. I know you've done a lot of work on this.
Tremendous amount of work.
So thanks for doing a lot of this, and I love the I love the idea of having a true kind of a headquarters again for a fire department, a fire rescue. I think that's great. Community room is awesome, and I guess it's okay that OPD's there too. I guess that's all right. And I love that basketball court. It's sunk it in, right? From what I can see on that, it's kind of.
Right, the intent is there's like an 8-foot of fall across the site, and so it kind of works with the slope, overall slope of the grade of the site. Was kind of a design element, so it would create sort of like an amphitheater type setting.
I just think it's great to for us to kind of to lead a little bit on that corridor, and if we can do this, and it's obviously some needed services anyways, and so I think we're checking two or three boxes with one project, and I think it's pretty awesome. So.
I think it's just a really beautiful setup.
Thank you.
And I think it could, we've needed something like this, and it's in the right place, and it's the right time.
I think it's wonderful because people that live in that area won't be afraid of the police when they know they get out there and play basketball with them, mm-hmm. and with the fire department and things like that. It's, we've needed that in that area of town for a long time. And especially since we moved the fire station off of 40.
Right.
We need that.
Absolutely.
So, any discussion from the audience? Call the roll.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mrs. Rich? So, this is the same time schedule that we would hope for the community center. So, we would hope to have this open by December of 2020 also.
Okay.
So it'll go out, you'll go out for bid for a design build.
Yeah.
Both these projects will be design build contracts.
Right. Okay. Well, you're going to have a lot of work going, John.
There's going to be a lot coming out of the ground, that's for sure. Yeah.
H.C. Approved contract with Florida Safety Contractors, Inc. for construction of CDBG-funded sidewalk improvements, Phase 1A, with a bid amount of $549,580.50 and $54,958 contingency, totaling $604,538.50. Presentation by Sean Lanier.
Sean Lanier. City Engineer. Good evening, Madam President, members of the Council. This agenda item supports the City's Council's strategic goal of quality of place. On January of this year, January 31st, we issued a bid for the CDBG sidewalk improvements, Phase 1A, and received three bids back on March 4th. Florida Safety Contractors was a low bid at 549, 580, 50. Staff has reviewed the bids. We recommend approval. I'm here to answer any questions.
I'll move approval.
Second.
Any discussion?
I got a question. Sean, when do we start taking a look at local companies when it comes to this? It looks like there's a $2,900 difference. $2,900 is very important. But, you know, we got a company coming out of Tampa. We have somebody here locally that's willing to do it. That was $2,900 behind.
I think this is a community development block grant funding. There are ways that we can do local bidder preference, but you have issues with that. If there's federal funds involved, I can get procurement to answer that, or Melanie Gabordi, but I think a lot of the that's part of the issue. And this wasn't bid with a local preference.
Tiffany, could you answer that? As you're coming up, I'll just add a second question. If council wanted to, could they potentially...
On some of our local, like our local funds, I know that we can, and we can put in bidder preference, but on anything that has a state or a grant funding, things like that, a lot of times you're limited to not do that.
Any federally funded projects have strict no local preference rules. So unfortunately, in this case, we couldn't. We do have a local vendor preference ordinance, of course, and in this case, if we were funding this, we would have given the second bidder an opportunity to match the price. So unfortunately, we could not do that in this case.
That answers my question. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
This is Rich. I'm as excited about this project as just about anyone that we do. All of staff, Melanie staff and Sean staff and Tiffany staff and just a bunch of staff were involved in hustling this up and expending the CDBG funds. This is seven blocks of sidewalk in West Ocala, filling a lot of gaps that have been absent for a very long time. And it's on an extremely fast track. This is going to be finished by the end of May. This is a really fast project. So just really great work by staff.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, ma'am.
Any questions from the audience? Call the roll.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye. 8D, adopt resolution 2019-21 to approve joint participation agreement FM number 443669-1-58-01 and accept grant funds for a new traffic signal at State Road 492 and Northeast 30th Avenue from the Florida Department of Transportation in the amount of $334,537. Presentation by Sean Lanier.
Sean Lanier, City Engineer. This agenda item supports the council's strategic goal of quality of place. This is a JPA with FDOT, basically to construct a traffic signal at Northeast 30th Avenue and 14th Street, which is State Road 492. It's where we had the tragedy last year. We had some young ladies killed, a vehicle accident that spurred the neighborhood to drive for getting a traffic signal. This will put that signal in place. The JPA basically funds the construction of the signal with the exception of powder coating for the, because we have the decorative mast arm powder coating, which is about approximately $12,000 is the estimate. And the other thing is we are going to pay for the construction, engineering, and inspection services of $63,777. Staff recommends approval.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Any discussion from the audience?
Madam President, I also need to add that there's an accompanying budget resolution that's part of the consent agenda.
Okay. You know, I'm glad we're putting this traffic light up, but we got to remember we have accidents on a lot of intersections in the city. And we need to be willing to do it for somebody else if it happens. Call the roll.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Thank you.
8E, adopt resolution 2019-22 to approve public transportation grant agreement, PTGA, with the Florida Department of Transportation for airport infrastructure improvements in the amount of $186,960. Matt Groh.
Good afternoon. Matt Groh, the airport director. This agenda item meets council strategic goal, operational excellence. With the hangar development that's currently underway at the south end of the airport requires certain utilities to be extended to that hangar development area. This was an unplanned grant. The timing with FDOT worked out that they had extra money in the grant cycle. With City Engineering designing the project, we petitioned the state. They accepted the project, went out to bid, got a hard bid number, made the grant application, and this is the result. It's $186,960 from FDOT. Water and sewer share is $43,740. Airport share is $3,000 for a total project cost of $233,700. This is going to spur additional hangar development on the south end of the airport. Staff recommends your approval. The accompanying budget resolution is on the consent agenda as well.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Any discussion from the audience? Call the roll.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Ms. Ridge?
Aye. 6F, 8F. Adopt budget resolution 2019-138, amending the fiscal year 2019 budget to carry forward remaining grant funds from fiscal year 2018 to fiscal year 2019 to cover grants with agreements that extend beyond September 30th, 2018, in the amount of $16,730 and $137. Is that right?
$63,730,137. That is correct.
That didn't feel right when I said it.
$16 million.
Yeah. Presentation by Bill Kaufman.
Bill Kaufman, Assistant City Manager. This agenda item supports the Council's strategic goal of fiscal sustainability. The $16,730,137 is available on requesting for reappropriation from fiscal year 17-18 to 18-19 to bring forward unexpended grant funds. Carrying forward these funds will allow us to continue the projects and the programs funded by these grants. And this is an annual activity that's a standard activity to close our annual books.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Any discussion from the audience? Call the roll.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye. Is there anything you all want to take off of the consent agenda?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
Okay, can we get a motion?
I'll move approval of the consent agenda.
Any discussion? No. Any discussion from the audience? Call the roll.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Introduction and first reading of ordinance says none. Internal auditor's report.
Good
Evening, Randall Bridgman, internal city auditor. I have a couple items to just provide updates to you from our office. First of which is the audit update is attached as 12A in your package. Just want to bring attention to a few things that have been completed in progress items. First item is we've completed our external audit assistance for the year for the fiscal year 2018. We're pretty happy about that. And there is 4 audits in progress right now. The first one of which is the transit service contract audit is currently in the reporting phase. Then 3 audits are in progress, the telecommunications account manager audit, solid waste disposal audit, and human resources form I-9 verification. Second item to bring your attention is the status of the management action plans. We've been working with management and staff since the last report presented in November to address the open items since that time period, and also we've included the new audits that have been finished and added to the report. Currently, there's 32 items on the list. 11 have been implemented and closed, which is always good news. There's 7 partially implemented and rescheduled for follow-up next month. There's 7 items that are not implemented, and they will be following up in March, April, and July, coming up with our staff. And then there's like 7 items that are just not scheduled for implementation yet. They're going to be scheduled in July. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Randall, thank you for updating all this.
Thank you. You're welcome.
What is the reason for an audit being on hold?
On hold? Oh, those are the items that, are you talking about the audit plan? The ones on hold, we're waiting. 2 departments are implementing new work order programs. They're going to be done about May, June timeframe when they start getting the implementation. Generally, when that happens, we'll give them about 3 months. Then we'll go and test to see how the new work programs are working. So they're on hold right now for staff availability and contractor, whatever they're doing. They're trying to buy the software packages and such.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions? City manager's report.
Just one quick item. At our last city council meeting, city council gave direction that they would like some minor changes to the agenda format, and there's a process that we have to follow, and Angel has prepared that. And so the only substantive change is that we have isolated and separated the police department and fire department report and from the mayor's report. So there are 2 separate line items now. And that's the change, but we do have to have your formal adoption of the new format. Yes, sir.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
No, that's good.
Any discussion from the audience? Call the roll.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye. Police Department report.
Deputy Chief Mike Balkin, Police Department. Good evening, everyone. I'll just give you a quick update on some of our opioid efforts. I know Chief Graham likes to keep you abreast of what's going on. In regards to our efforts, we've had 66 opioid amnesty program participants so far. Year to date for 2019, we've had 41 overdose responses. Unfortunately, 5 of those resulted in deaths, but we have had 9 Narcan saves. Important to note, we'll also be participating in the upcoming DEA drug take back program at the police department. We partner with them every year. That'll occur this year on April 27. You can look forward to some press releases advertising that and try to get some participation. That's all I really have. If you have any questions, I'm welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Fire department.
Shane Alexander, fire chief. So to report back on our Narcan leave behind, so for March, we've had 7 opioid incidents with 3 leave behinds and no deaths. So up to this point, we've had good statistics for the month of March.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, ma'am.
City attorney's report.
I don't have anything on there, but Angel and I met with Wesley Wilcox a couple weeks ago, and he's explaining to us a perceived problem about getting ballots overseas, given some state statute changes and the timing on that, and why that's important to council is one of you may be running for election for the county commission, and that may cause a special election to have to occur. And so he thinks we're going to probably need to change some timing on our ordinance. Unfortunately, we think it might have to be done by referendum. I'll talk to you hopefully next council meeting about what we need to do or not do in anticipation of that problem. And then also his suggestion was, and I tend to think it's agreed, if we're going to change the timing for the special, I don't think it's going to change the election dates, right? It's just
not general.
Not the general. But it may cause us to make some adjustments the council's going to have to deal with just to make sure that we're dealing with this, getting out the overseas ballots and stuff. So that's coming, and we'll tell you what we think we need to do. But Mr. Wilcox brought it to our attention, and it looks like it's a problem for him. So if it's a problem for him, it's a problem for us. We'll fix it as best we can.
I have a question.
Okay.
Well, two questions. When you say referendum, do you mean a charter change?
Yeah, unfortunately, he's in the charter, and parts of the charter, if you may recall, parts of the charter, the legislature passed legislation a long time ago, back in the 70s, that said you can change your charter by basically ordinance, change it by ordinance. They made some exceptions to the ordinance change to your charter, and there are certain parts of it you cannot change except by referendum. And crazily, the statute says once you've changed your charter, even if you could have done it by ordinance, if you did it by referendum once, you can't then take advantage of the ordinance change to change it. So parts of the ordinance that he thinks we need to change looks like it may have to be done by referendum, which is expensive, obviously. But
we could do it. Could we do it with our this coming year's election?
We don't know yet.
We don't know.
I did some initial research, and it just doesn't look good. But I didn't sit down. Gwen did it for me, and it was based on previous research that Jimmy did for council last time we were tweaking all this stuff. So just didn't look promising. So I kind of wanted to alert to you that we may not have a choice. But
one additional comment: our leaders up in Tallahassee aren't going to fix all this for us.
No, I wouldn't count on them to fix real problems. But
the answer to that.
Yeah, I know. I just had to say it. I'm sorry. One more question, Matt. Is it possible that we could do the special election, should Justin run, during the August primary of next year? Would we be able to do that, or would that?
Problem is, no.
Okay. That's okay.
The brains of the operation is shaking her head no, but the reason she's shaking her head no is because we don't know when the special election has to be called, because Mr. Gravel hasn't resigned to run yet, and he has, and I'm not suggesting you do either, but we don't know when, and so we're going to need to do a charter change that deals with not just his situation, but anybody in the future, so that we have adequate time to get the ballots out.
If you run, it's 2020.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm running. It's not a matter of if.
Okay.
When you
there you go.
Let me
change. There you go. Pat, are there any other charter items that if we're going to have to do some sort of?
Well, that's a good thought. I haven't thought about that. We've put other charter items in the past on referendum that have generally been.
It failed.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
and so this
we're encouraged to vote against them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So although the short answer to that may be, hey, there may be things we want to do. It may not be a good idea, because we really, really need to, you know, once we do this, we really need to convince the voters to pass it, because it's an issue that needs to be resolved and done the way the supervisor tells us to do it. Because I don't, you know, according to him, he doesn't have enough time to get the ballots printed back, send them overseas, get them back, and comply with federal law or something. So
that was the second part of my question. If we put it on the ballot and they for some reason or other, even though this is a procedural deal, if it's not passed, then...
Well, good question again. So one of the reasons I haven't given you the definitive answer about the referendum is because I thought along the lines, if it's mandated by law, why do we, and we have to change our charter, it seems to me that that would preempt this previous statute that says you got to do it by referendum. Well, you got to do it to comply with federal law. It seems to me it's preempted, but I haven't studied that enough to give you a definitive opinion. I'm hoping that's my answer, but I don't know yet.
I'm hoping to. Thank you.
Can we put the raise on there again?
Put the what? The raise?
Referendum.
You can put anything you want. You didn't ask me for my personal opinion, but if you did, I suspect it would go down in flames yet again. The voters like to pay county commissioners.
I know it. They pay them big bucks, too.
Oh, they're mandated. I think it is mandated.
Oh, how do we get a mandate that they pay us?
Get the legislature to... Get the legislature.
Oh, it has to come from them.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh.
I think it may be part of the Florida Constitution, actually, but they're responsible for changing that, too. So the folks in Tallahassee need to fix that for you.
Okay.
And I've got another thing. If we're done with that, I've got another thing. The local vendor preference, talking about legislation. The local vendor preference, every time it comes up, we always take the opportunity to take on it. We hate it. It's potential litigation, and it's not ultimately, I don't think, it's city. The procurement people hate it because we're not really getting the best deal for the citizens. The reason we want local vendor preference is because other communities have local vendor preference, and it's sort of seen as unfair. So if I was God of the universe, I would make the Florida legislature pass legislation that says that nobody can have local vendor preference. It's illegal in Florida. So Orlando can't have it, and Leesburg can't have it, we can't have it, nobody can have it, and then there's just no local vendor preference, and then you don't have a situation where you have, local, the next county over does it for them, but we don't do it for ours, and it's a fair level playing field. And so if you're so inclined to think that way, I would suggest that you talk to the League of Cities and you talk to our whatever they're called, lobbyists, up there to maybe suggest that. Because, and the reason we're against it, and the only reason I'm telling you this is because from a legal perspective, it's a litigation magnet when you apply locally, because they cheat. And we've had some instances where people say they have an office here and they really don't. And so there's cheating, and then there's allegations of cheating by the losing vendor. And we get sucked into all that and the litigation that may ensue. And so that's why it's problematic, I think, for the city. But anyway, about 2 seconds. I will be contacting, we got the class action trial coming up in April. So Ms. Rich, you're going to be a witness. Mr. Gwynn will be a witness, and Mr. Zober will be a witness. And so we'll be contacting you shortly about setting up some time to go over your testimony with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Calendaring items. City Council work session Thursday, March 28th at 12 p.m. Homeless Prevention, Indigent Assistance, National League of Cities Service Line Warranty Program. It's on in City Hall on the second floor of Council Chambers. The mayor's not here. Information by council members. Before you all start, the county is requesting that we reconsider the termination of the interlocal agreement for dispatch communication services. And I'd like for us to discuss that for a minute or two.
Well, Ms. Rich, I'd appreciate your input about the conversation you had yesterday and your thoughts on why we should reconsider.
Well, the county wants us to reconsider because they think it's better if we are together. The CEP was there, and there are some members of the CEP here today, and the sheriff is here.
They just think it's better if we work together than if we work apart. At the communication meeting, wasn't very good. The guy that was presenting the stuff talked about how bad the city was. He didn't say how bad the county was. That upset me. Because both of them, undoubtedly, both of us have made mistakes. That's why the conversation came up. But if you all are into reconsidering, they have a lobbyist. Tell them about it, John.
Yeah, they have a consultant, and Chief Banta earlier today.
I mean a consultant.
Chief Banta sent me their request for proposal. They're currently soliciting for a consultant to review the entire communications center. And I've had a chance to look at the scope of services, and it is very comprehensive. It's a thorough forensic examination across the whole spectrum of all the services that are provided. Those bids are due on April 2nd. It calls for a 90-day study, so it'll be completed. The final report is due in 90 days, and I think it is a very comprehensive review of the communications operations.
Kevin.
Ms. Zobler or Ms. Rich, would we have an opportunity? First of all, I'm open-minded, but we have an opportunity during that process to sort of have a seat at the table or be a part of that process. I mean, I would feel comfortable.
In our discussions yesterday, through the county commission chairwoman, as well as the county administrator, we were offered a seat at the selection committee table. And today, Chief Banta also asked for our input on the RFP document, if there were any missing gaps in there, the things that the city wanted for information also. And I've asked all of our chiefs to opine on that.
Ms. Rich, did you guys, talk at all about the sort of finger pointing that's been going on at that meeting yesterday?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. Okay. Kevin, would you kind of discuss what we talked about and why the CEP thinks we ought to?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Kevin Cheely, Calumet County Chamber and Economic Partnership. We would, on behalf of the CEP, we would like to encourage the council to look at rescinding the notice and to open up an opportunity for dialogue. Obviously, this is a very important issue. It impacts our entire community, both as a city resident and many of our businesses, who are some of the largest users of the services. And I would say, as a third party in the room, I felt like those types of things, look, we know there were things that were not good. The communication was not good. We really need to bring all the leaders together and have a dialogue about how we make this system better. And if that means sticking with what we have and changing up some things, great. If after a period of discussion and hopefully being a part of the study, if it's moving in our separate ways, that's fine. But we really wanted to encourage the council to give this more discussion and to allow both parties to sit down together towards that end.
I know.
And when we say both parties, we mean Chief Alexander and Chief Banta sitting together. I don't think the information the county put up was, the city wasn't involved in that. They put it together and gave it to the communications committee. So I think both of them should sit, but both of them should be in the meeting whenever they discuss it and bring it together.
I just want to make sure that whatever we're doing is going to be it's going to be forward-looking, right? It's going to be about solving the problem because it's public safety is arguably our most important public responsibility. So it's got to be forward-looking. It's got to tackle the problems. It can't be about laying blame in the past and all of that. It's got to be about turning that new page if we're going to be able to work together and move forward at the end of that.
And I think we will.
Sorry, I had one more question. I'm sorry. I got a few minutes to look at the RFP document before, it was up here. Is there an opportunity, and I know Mary Gwynne's not here and Chief Graham aren't here, but is there an opportunity, will that process of the back and forth between, OPD's 911 call and the County Communications Center 911 calls, will that be analyzed as part of that process? I mean, I know right now it seems like a lot of the I'll chalk it up to confusion or whatever, but the finger pointing, that seems to be one of the
crucial points.
We have two CAD systems talking to each other, Mr.
Right.
Hale, and the county has offered to expand the RFP to also include a detailed look at our communications operations. And I had a chance to speak to Deputy Chief Balkin today, and he was open to that and welcomed that. And so we want to look at both sides and through this process.
I mean, I just think if we have an opportunity to get a true third party sort of looking at it, I can't see how that would not be beneficial for all of us. And then we can all go out and have a beer and have a great 911 system that works for the entire county. But anyways, so, you know, if all that's working then part of the process, then I would support.
If you all agree, I need to resend the letter that I sent.
Well, I haven't talked, Ms. Witch. You haven't given me a chance yet.
I'm sorry. I wouldn't look over you. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I just feel that we want safety for everybody, all the citizens. And what we went through 2 weeks ago, or three, 4 weeks ago, whatever it was, we heard from our chief, we heard from our both chiefs, we've heard from everybody. And we took a vote and went that way. I'm for going either way. I don't care, as long as the people get service. I'd like to hear from our chiefs again. I'd like to hear from the sheriff and see what their feelings are tonight before we make any decisions. That's only fair. And if we're going to sit and, you know, we don't run the county's businesses, and I feel that we should make our own business work. And if we can get together, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But I'm just worried about what I heard last, we're going through, and I'm not against anything that will make the citizens better and safer. And that's my feelings. So if we can have some of them come up and give us some of their feeling, I appreciate it.
Sheriff, would you come give us your feelings, please?
Regarding this subject, yeah, Sheriff, well, just this subject. If we can keep it.
We don't want to get real personal now, Sheriff.
Billy Wood, Sheriff of Marion County. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I'm not quite sure where to start, nor I quite sure what to say. I'm hesitant on one end because I don't want to slap people in the face.
You want to slap me in the face?
No, ma'am. Not at all. Actually, I do know where to start. I do want to commend you, Madam President. In that meeting in which we were in, I was thoroughly impressed with you, ma'am. You held your composure. You held yourself, and you represented the city quite well, ma'am.
Thank you.
I reckon I'll start with this. When it was changed so many years ago, it was a bad idea. And I'll make it simple. Why you change something when it was under the office of a sheriff, when it ran effectively, efficiently, and no issues whatsoever? Plain and simple as that. But a change was made. Why? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. There has been problems ever since has been put in place. It's an experiment that has been bad. Plain and simple as that. Now my hopes is that Chief Banta can fix the issues. Am I hopeful? I don't know. I don't have any clear thought in regards to that. What I do know is that the citizens of this county, to include the citizens of this city, blame one person. Not you, not county commission. They blame me, the sheriff of Marion County. Every failed 911, I get the phone call. They want to know why the sheriff is not taking care of it. And I have no response to them except to say it does not fall under the office of the sheriff. Now, I really don't know, guys. You know, you want to give people chances, but and give the opportunity out there to keep moving forward. Having the outside source is a good idea. Obviously, I'm doing that for the jail, having them review it. It's not a negative. It is a positive. Now, if you want the truth from me in this open forum, I'm in no shape, way, or form in support of any consolidation. Let me get that out there right now. I think a city has its uniqueness, and it needs to retain it. Where I think it should be, and again, this has nothing to do with Chief Banta. Let me make that perfectly clear. He's got the skills, he's got the leadership, he's got the capability. Personally, I think it needs to be under the office of the sheriff, and this is the first time I have publicly and openly said that. If I sat in your seats, I would pull out. They don't like me saying that, and I know that's gut-wrenching to them at this moment, and I know my county commissioners are probably listening right now. But you've asked me for my opinion. What I will not do is get up here and lie to you. I will not give you some political answer. We each have to do what we think is in the best interest of our citizens. Citizens of Ocala, the citizens of Marion County. Now, you can ask me whatever questions you want. I know I probably haven't helped you. I've probably made it worse, and I probably got some daggers in my back at the moment. But you asked me to come up here and give you my opinion, madam. But not slapping you, no, ma'am. That was never in my thought, just so you know.
Thank you. Do y'all want to ask the sheriff anything?
I'll ask one question. So you had mentioned that you're against consolidation generally, but say, and this is not something that we're considering today, but what if we consolidated everything under the sheriff's office so that you have the accountability of you, one person, who's accountable to the residents of Marion County and the city? Is that something that you would support?
No, I wouldn't. I reckon in my seat, what's unique for me is I've sat here before. I've seen both sides of the table. And what happens usually in that particular area, an ego comes out, what we call sheriffitis. I have no desire to go there. I don't want control of anything. I don't want to take and have the power over anything. What I want to do is ensure that all of our citizens are taken care of. And consolidation, here, the best way to put it, consolidation is like socialism. In theory, it's a good idea. But in practice, it's a failure. Plain and simple as that. Consolidation is not the answer. Collaboration is the true answer. And that collaboration is proof through your chiefs at your fire department and your police department. Because we meet, and this includes the county fire department as well, and the other three chiefs. I meet with them every single week for breakfast on a particular day. That's for us to discuss the county's and the city's issues in order for us to work together and get beyond the petty issues in which we have in conflict in government. So, no, I would not be in favor of it.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
I'm not going anywhere. If you think of some more, so just call me back up.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Well, anybody else out there want to comment on this?
Chief Balkan, Chief Alexander.
James Banta, Fire Chief, Marion County Fire Rescue. So, no, Sheriff, I'm not upset with you. I don't agree. When it comes to public safety communications across the state, across the nation, consolidation is the model. Okay, we're here at this juncture because back in around 08, heading into the recession, there was a Blue Ribbon Task Force that was put together by, which included one of the previous sheriffs, Sheriff Dean, to look at consolidation of several services, fire rescue services with the sheriff's office, so on. out of that task force, there were numerous recommendations for consolidation to save the taxpayers' money and to make systems more efficient. So that's why we're here today. That's why we're at a consolidated effort. When I was here at the previous board meeting, I asked to give the 90 days to look, give me the chance to look at the problems that I see, that we see, and how we can, you know, fix some of these issues. I was not able to commit at that time that I could address anything because I'd literally been in charge for hours. Okay. I can tell you standing here today that I am 100% confident that with the changes that we've already addressed, the additional staff that I'm going to ask the County Commission for next week, that I can absolutely address each and every concern of public safety communications without deconsolidating the entire organization. Okay. My main concerns right now would be public safety answering points. Okay. When you call 911, where that goes to and how that call is answered. All right, the documentation and things that I'm seeing is that's our struggle, and it has to do with two different call centers. So fracturing further will create more issues. Okay, really what needs to happen is there needs to be one point of contact when you call 911. Okay, the other thing that I think we need to really look at is a common computer-aided dispatch system, CAD system, where we're all on the same system, everything becomes seamless. All right. I think I spoke to Chief Graham about this, and he's supportive of this also. So we need to look at those things. All right. I think we need to look at the consultants. Let the consultants do their work here. You know, be part of that. I welcome you to be part of that. Let them bring their recommendations back. The state, by state statute, Marion County Board of County Commissioners is responsible through the E911 plan for providing 911 support to all citizens, whether Marion County or the city of Ocala. All right, so we're following that E911 plan, and that's what we're looking at. And the state also recommends consolidation services. I promise you today, if you fracture the entire system, it will increase response times, okay? It will take longer to process calls and get those calls to the appropriate agency and respond to the citizens. Okay, I can make you that commitment today. As to the meeting with Ms. Rich last week, I am sorry that you took it that it was an attack on the city or response directly to the city. The incidences that we addressed in that meeting were the specific instances that this council used to make the decisions you make. So that's the reason why we brought those instances up. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions or concerns.
Chief, those incidences weren't the only reason we made the decision that we made. That might have been all we talked about that day, but that's not the only reason we made the decision.
Okay. Y'all have any questions?
Well, not for Chief Banta, but for John. So, John, if we do proceed, we rescind the letter, we provide the time period to allow the consultants to do their work and come back. What type of, benchmarks are we going to have in place to, know that the progress that we need to see is being made? And that, both parties are being held accountable for what we're doing, to ultimately make it successful. Really what I'm trying to get at is if we give it another 90 days or 120 days, what's the plan for accountability after that?
Well, we continue to monitor the process during the 90 days and work with the Marion County Fire Rescue, particularly Chief Banta and his staff, on any problems that might arise. And then there are national standards that we want to adhere to and comply with and at least meet those levels. And that's specified in the document to make sure that we're matching national standards and expectations. Those are the benchmarks. What we were looking for, what we've always been looking for is a recognition of that there are issues on both sides. And I think we have that. I think Chief Banta and staff recognize that there are issues on both sides. And that's what we were looking for.
Deputy Chief, did you have something to say?
Deputy Chief Balkin, Ocala Police Department. Just real quickly, I'd have to echo Sheriff Wood's comments. Certainly, I have no doubts in Chief Banta's abilities as the County Fire Chief. I can assure you that Chief Graham is completely against any type of consolidation. Quite frankly, the consultation he thinks is a waste of time, and and potentially money. I don't think we have any issue with people looking at us to make sure we're doing right, trying to reach those national standards, but you know, we certainly accept when we have errors in our house, and we go out of our way to fix them quickly, efficiently, and be the best service providers we can be. In the end, the sheriff's right. This is about a commitment to our citizens to make sure everybody's safe and they get a proper response in the proper time. It infuriates us as chiefs and deputy chiefs to hear that 911 calls are waiting 30 seconds to get answered. You know, growing up, you think the phone rings. Before that first ring is over with, somebody had better be answering and saying, what's your emergency? And that's not happening. We think we do a very good job in our house. We don't think our house is broken. So we're completely against any consolidation. I can certainly tell you that on behalf of Chief Graham and myself. That being said, again, nothing to be said to slight Chief Panta and his efforts. But the bottom line is you have accountability right now. You can look at me and fire me tomorrow. You can look at Chief Graham and fire him tomorrow if you're not happy with the services that he provides through his communication center. You won't be able to do that with the county.
And I think, too, we need to look at the call takers. You know, train them well and make sure they know that their job is very, very important. It depends on life and death.
Yes, ma'am. I can tell you our call takers and our dispatchers are consummate professionals. As a matter of fact, 32% of them have over a decade of experience, combined over 200 years of experience. They take their job extremely seriously. They know that they're an integral part of the public safety and commitment to our citizens. They know that. They eat, sleep, breathe it. They have a genuine commitment to this city and a desire to respond as quickly and as efficiently as possible. Does that mean there's no mistakes? Absolutely not. There's mistakes. I don't care where you look in any unit or bureau that we have within the agency. We do try to minimize those, and we take those errors extremely seriously, and we try to do everything we can to correct those quickly. The fact of the matter is, as a watch commander, a captain, a major, a deputy chief, or a chief can walk down the hall into our comm center and deal with the supervisor, the call taker, and the dispatcher right then and there and handle the problem. And that's what we try to do. So, but your point's well taken, Ms. Rich, that the errors, the seriousness of that job is paramount, and we get that, and we demand that. And we're always looking to improve. There's room for improvement, certainly, in our call center as well as the counties. We get that and openly, readily admit that.
Y'all got any questions for Deputy Chief? Come on up, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want to make something real clear. One, I know how media is. I want to make sure what I said earlier is not construed in any wrong way or misinterpreted. Chief Banta has my full support in what he's trying to do. And I have a captain in there. He's allowed me to put a captain in the communications to help them what they do. There is no conflict. I want to make sure that that's clear. There's no conflict between myself and the county, my commissioners. There's no conflict between myself and Chief Banta. In a way, you can say that I'm giving him the opportunity. Now, this is something that I have told Chief Banta and Jeannie, who left Assistant County Administrator. I made it both clear to them that my patience can only go so far. And to see change, I need to see change, not 2 years or 3 years down the road. I better see change. Because if I pull out, the cost to me is far greater than what it will cost y'all in so many ways. But however, I want y'all to know that I am giving Chief Banta a chance. I am giving him the opportunity to show that hopefully it works. And what their changes are making. I didn't want you to walk out here and think that I'm in a conflict with Chief Banta. That's far from the truth.
You didn't say that.
No, ma'am, I didn't, but I know how people are in politics. My short time in politics, I know how people take the words. So I just want to make that clear. All right?
Billy, Mr. Sheriff.
My mom calls me Billy, so that's okay.
So what I'm hearing, I think you say, is that you just think inherently the consolidation of these two call centers between the city and the county just really can't work? I think I heard you say that. I just want to...
You did, because okay. I just don't see how it can.
Okay, because I've been hearing that from Chief Graham now for well over a year. And I guess I just don't understand how we signed an agreement 7 years ago and we get to this point 7 years later and we got to go hire a consultant to tell us how to do it. And, you know, things...
You know, a lot of answers, and Chief Band has already presented some of them, which I agree with him on. Part of the issues are the call takers, and we discussed that in the meeting, Madam President. And his goal currently is to add positions to the call taking. That's the hugest issue in regards to it all. Now, this is long before he took it over, long probably before some of these commissioners. Part of the issue in there that I can see from the outside is obviously deals with overtime, okay? Overtime, when you have as much overtime as they do, that is a staffing issue. That's a serious staffing issue. It has nothing to do with the individual's knowledge and the direction it's going. And the best way, I don't know how to put it. It's difficult for me to put into words. The call taking is going to improve in certain areas, but how do you get the specific focus that you need as a city and we get in the county and get the same thing in the county, the specific focus? It's like trying to hire a handyman to take care of everything and their skills are not as fine-tuned as a plumber or as an electrician. Okay, I don't hire a handyman to take care of my plumbing, although you might, but if you want got specific problems, you hire that plumber. Okay, and that's what I'm getting at. And the answer to you, I don't see how it can. If I don't see it, that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I would think of all the things that we talk about consolidation, that would be the one thing or the one place it possibly could work. I've never been in favor of consolidating police and sheriff or the county fire with the city fire, but I would think that the call centers could work because you're basically answering a call and dispatching. Now we've heard all this that we have a different CAD system than the county has, so fix the problem, get everybody on the same CAD system. But
that's a one solution. Yes,
and you know, maybe I'm just being too simple here.
No, sometimes the simplest answers are the solution to your biggest problems. Yeah. I mean, that's just a fact. But I'm going to bring you back to what you just said. What was wrong with it that made you go in that direction?
I think it was saving money.
See, now that's a problem. And when you come to the safety of your citizens, saving money should be the extremely last.
And I would agree with that, but I think we were sold that there was no detriment to public safety, and this was a savings of money. I've actually had citizens reach out to me, encouraging us to stay in the agreement for the saving of the funds. But I agree, the public safety is paramount, okay? I guess I just want, I want it both to work. I want the public safety and being able to tell the citizens that we have saved you a dollar or two in handling this.
Oh, trust me, I want it to work. I don't want another headache myself, to be perfectly honest with you. And I'm pretty sure you don't either. But we bear those responsibilities because of the positions in which we hold. I don't have answers for you, but what I can tell you is right now, Chief Banta does have my support. I'm supporting him and giving him what he needs right now to prove me wrong. How about that? Does that make it simple?
Thank you.
All right.
Chief Alexander, everybody said something but you. You got a big part in this. You are an equal part in this.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks. Shane Alexander, Fire Chief. So my situation is a little bit different than theirs. So Sheriff Woods co-houses with the dispatch. Chief Graham has his own dispatch. And the fire department, the county fire now, runs their own dispatch. So I'm the end user on the tail end of this whole thing. So I've had most of the complaints compared to all of them. Up to this point, I know Chief Banda has given me a commitment that it would not stay that way, but I have had I've had little to no command and control over our resources. I've even experienced it myself. So I'm happy that everybody's acknowledging that it needs to be fixed or improved or corrected. But then also, having said that, I think it would be prudent to give them the 90 days or somewhere near that to see if they can make it work.
Because when things happen, either you know the letter that he said he had, and he wasn't the chief when things happen. You know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am.
So Chief Banta is new to this, and you're new fire chief. So maybe you two can work things out, because things happen and they weren't under your watch.
Yes, ma'am, and one other piece of input. I haven't been able to review the RFP completely, but I don't know if it's an opportunity for us to redo the contract that we currently live under to where we would have measures within that contract to make sure and keep things, you know, functioning properly, or at least where we had input, where we can make corrective measures. Maybe they can even give our commanders access to the dispatch where we can direct resources, you know, different pieces like that, and to meet our national benchmarks.
Mrs. Rich, that's a good point that the chief makes up. As we looked at terminating the agreement and when we were exploring what was not performing and working under the existing agreement, the agreement is not really well written and it needs work. And to Mr. Grable's point, we need to put some clearer measurements in there for performance and defaults for non-performance, which we currently don't have.
There's really not any benchmarking
or default
in the agreement currently, right? Yeah. So, Chief DC, John, if realistically, as real as we can talk with what we know now, what can we do to prepare to remove from the agreement as far as getting set up for moving dispatch services into the city, but allow this process to go forward before we actually have to expend resources to move away? You know what I mean? I mean, is there a middle ground here for us to where we're not short? Yeah, plan for the worst, hope for the best kind of thing. Is that in the?
We would actually suspend our current recruitment. We're in the process of recruiting six dispatchers, and we were in the process of soliciting for the necessary equipment, additional equipment that we were going to do.
Right.
We were not going to go forward with the expansion, the room expansion that we had, but to answer your question specifically, Mr. Wardell, there's nothing that we could simultaneously prepare for in lieu of this not working out. I would ask council that we would reserve the right to provide 6 months notice should this, I don't even know what the cure period will be after the study findings go. So the study will identify what needs to be fixed, and then we would have to set the expectation for when they would be fixed.
So, about the 6 months, I mean, from what I understand from an article I read and the banner from the 17th, the county, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chief, but I mean, there's some concern that even what we've tried to do with the 6 month and leave October, you don't think is proper, right? I mean, so does it really matter if we leave by October or not, or if we make it November or December is the point at the end of the day?
Well, again, the contract currently states that we provide 1 year notice from this October 1st. That's currently where we are now.
So either way, whether we do what we've done or extend that by 3 months, technically we're still breaching.
Complying with that exit provision, that termination.
Yeah. If we did comply with it.
Right.
If we resend the letter and let them do what they're doing, we can't get out in October, can we?
We can't get out now. Well, we need staff needs a minimum of 6 months to recruit and set the system in place. And most of that is the training curve of training the dispatchers to be able to assume their duties.
So what we need to know today is, are you all willing to resend the letter and let them listen to the consultant and try to work it out for us to consolidate?
Well, given I think what we've heard from all of the chiefs and you know, deputy chiefs, there's some conflicting information there, and I'm not an expert in public safety. I'm not going to pretend to know how to do your jobs better than you. So, you know, I think that getting that that study done will be important, and it'll help us set a baseline if we do decide to leave.
but more importantly, it helps kind of reset the situation. And it continues a good faith effort to work with the county. I mean, I think that's incredibly important. And so I'd be inclined to support rescinding the letter.
John, after they get that study, are we going to get a copy of it so we can see?
Yes, we will have
have our input.
Yes. And to that point, although the county has fully funded the study, if council wishes to have some skin in the game from a financial standpoint, I would need that direction also if you wanted to contribute to the cost of the study. But again, the county has fully funded the study currently.
Well, Chief, if we don't fund it, would you give me a copy of it when you get it?
Yes, ma'am. It'll be public record. You'll be able to have a copy of it. I think being part of the funding, I think of looking at it, it would be by call volume. I think it was like 11.4%. So I don't even have an idea at this point what the cost of the consultant is going to be. I just did a master plan for our entire department, a 10-year master plan that cost $50,000. So I'm sure this would be much less than that, I would think. So, if you want to have somebody at the table, somebody on the selection committee, you want to change some of the parts of the RFP, then I think, you know, that's what you would be contributing to. And we would need to know that essentially in this meeting because of the closing date of the RFP. Once that RFP closes, we can't make any changes. And if you don't mind, I'd like to take just a second and tell you where we're at from a public safety communication standpoint. Coming into taking over public safety communications, we had 12 openings. We had six dispatchers that we hired. We've extended job offers to six more dispatchers. One of the things I looked at immediately was what criteria were we following when we're hiring dispatchers. So there was a disconnect between the actual job description and the company that hires the dispatchers. We fixed that disconnect and we immediately got about 40 applications. So I'm going to go to the count to the city, the county commission meeting next Tuesday, ask for 9 additional dispatchers, being fully staffed and having about 40 applications. So I have no doubt that we'll fill those positions. So we're making positive changes at public safety communications now, and that's just one example of that. So again, I'm confident, and I also believe that the interlocal agreement does need changed. There's several things in there that just do not make sense. For instance, reporting to you what the proposed budget is going to be for next year by April 1st. That date does not make sense. We're just now getting our budgets in line, so I can't really report to you. I can tell you what I've submitted for next year, but it hasn't gone through the budget process yet. So there's a lot of things in there that we need to work on.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Brett?
Yeah. You were hiring, you said you've hired six people and you're going to go for 9?
When I took over public safety,
yeah, right.
12 openings.
This is a test of the emergency broadcasting system.
Chief, watch your language, please. Thank you.
Thank you. We had 12 openings. We had 6 in the pipeline, which we offered jobs to. And since we made the change to the hiring requirements, we've extended job offers.
I understand. Okay.
And then I'm going in asking for 9 more.
How long is it going to take you to train these people?
It takes about 5 months before they're truly on their own function.
On their own.
Yes, sir.
So we have that 5 months plus the whatever to see if this is going to work. Is that right? That we're going to accomplish everything?
We also instituted overtime in the call-taking spots. So our plan right now is to start immediately reducing that abandonment rate. So my goal is to have our abandonment rate down about 2% as soon as possible. So we've added extra dispatchers on overtime to deal with the call-taking issues.
Well, I heard earlier if you have overtime, a lot of overtime, it wasn't good. And I saw some of the councilmen shake their heads. You're right.
You have to balance overtime with public safety.
I think this would be like a short-term fix until they could get fully staffed.
Well, you're still dealing with the people. You're dealing with things like that and money, okay? And
we've identified the funding, and we feel confident by the end of the year we're going to be okay on the funding side of it.
I'm not worried about the money part. We can find that somewhere, but you've got to protect the citizens. That's what I'm worried about.
And that's what we're doing, sir.
Well, I'm not convinced totally.
Okay, folks, do we want to You do, Justin. Do you, Matt?
Ms. Ray's going to say one thing. Y'all rescinded the contract for cause. The contract interlocal had a termination with this 1 year, but the letter I sent was for cause. So you don't have just the option of rescinding the letter. You have the option also, and I'm not suggesting you do this, you have the option of suspending your rescission letter.
That's what I'm saying.
For a period of time. That's another option to you. I'm not suggesting that y'all got to say what you want to do, but the letter is a rescission for cause because they weren't providing adequate call service. So.
And what do I have to say?
I'm not telling you what to say, but your option.
Well, you suppose that that's what we
right,
pay
right, you're
you
presenting. Well, no, I'm not telling you what to say. I'm not telling you what to do here. I'm telling you you have another option. You can
if we
do
decide.
Nothing. You got three choices. You can do nothing and leave the rescission letter in place. You can rescind the rescission letter, or you can suspend the rescission letter for whatever amount of time you think is appropriate.
Ms. Rich, that's what I was going to ask John about doing, is suspending our, like Pat said, but he took the words out of my mouth before I got to it.
So, Ms. Rich, I'll make a motion to ask you to suspend the letter that rescinds us from our interlocal agreement.
For how long?
Indefinitely.
Indefinitely, but my goal is to get through this study period and
indefinitely.
Indefinitely, with at our option of council to lift that suspension when we
okay.
Necessary.
You got that, Angel?
Second that.
Suspend the letter of rescission. Yes.
Well,
indefinitely.
Now, what does indefinitely mean?
It means definitely.
Well, it means any.
Is that infinity?
Well, it means
infinity.
Could be, but it also right. could be if
it could be 30 days from now.
Yeah. 30 days from now, we feel like this is not
okay. That's what I wanted to hear. Yeah. Okay.
I'll second that. Anybody second this?
Yeah.
Yeah, Justin. Yeah.
Any discussion from the council? Nobody else wants to talk. Call the roll.
Mr. Wardell.
Aye.
Mr. Grable.
Aye.
Mr. Musley.
Aye.
Mr. Wardell. I'm sorry, Mr. Molliver.
Aye.
Ms. Rich.
Aye.
Didn't I make the motion?
Ms. Rich.
I prepare a letter for your signature.
No, Matt made it.
Matt and Grable.
Prepare a letter for your signature to that effect.
Huh?
I prepare a letter for your signature to that effect.
Okay.
Mrs. Rich, shortly after the report comes out, I'll schedule a workshop to review the report findings with City Council so you're fully aware of what the recommendations are in the report.
Okay.
And John, as that report's being completed, if we can just maintain close contact to ensure that things are progressing in the interim as well, that'd be great.
And as Chief Banta offered, and sorry, I mean, just to continue to tack on to this, but as Chief Banta offered, and you both have indicated, as much as we can be a part of the process along the way, Chief, if there's anything that we can do, and Deputy Chief Balkin, if there's something that we think from our dispatch center, I just want to get to the right solution. So I don't want to get to the end of that 4 months and feel like there's still some finger pointing going on because there's some unanswered questions. So whatever we can do, I want to encourage everybody to be a part of that process. And maybe while we're going through that, we can, with the hope, I'll use Sheriff Woods' words there, with the hope that this is going to be, can find a solution. Let's begin to think about the changes with the interlocal agreement that we may want to make in the future now, so that if we get through that process and are content with moving forward, then we can work on that.
We'll work on that.
That's just my.
Do you all want some skin in the game?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I would support it.
Sure. I was going to suggest the gas tax revenue split. But since 11.4% is even less than the gas tax revenue, I can live with that.
Do we need a motion for that?
I'll make the motion that we participate at the 11.4% rate, which is consonant with the call volume percentages.
Second.
You seconded. Call the roll.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye. So we got skin in the game. We all set.
I would suggest we had skin in the game from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether we paid the 11%. I think it was an important vote tonight. I was the one dissenter in the very beginning to back out of this. I would like to say, from everything I've heard tonight, if we were making a decision of whether to enter into this, I would have been opposed to it. But since we're already in it, I think the best thing to do is to see if it can be fixed. And I truly believe that if you can consolidate anything, that this ought to be an area that we can consolidate, gain some physical responsibility without suffering any of our citizens to undue safety issues.
Well, my concern is public safety, period. And that's why I said the call takers have a very, very important job. Because it's a matter of people don't call just to be calling. Unless one time a little boy called 911 and the lady answered, he said he needed help. And she said, what? He said, this math problem, I can't do it. And I didn't know who else to call. So she helped him with his math problem and hung up. But being serious, 911, when you call it, you need some help.
That's right.
So I think we're on a good foot. We're going to, if we can consolidate this, Sheriff, and I hope it's to your liking when we do, but we want to work with the county, and maybe this is a good way to do it. This meeting.
Wait a minute. I would like to say something.
You didn't ask for council comments yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let Brent go first. He's ready to roll.
No, I just want to thank the sheriff and the police department and our chief, fire chief, for coming up and being honest with us and try to help us through this. And I certainly appreciate it. It helped me, and that's what I wanted to know, that we have the safety first for our citizens. So thank all of y'all.
I'll just echo what Brent just said. Your candor is only going to help us fix this problem. So thank you all for that. It's important moving forward that we continue to receive that same level of honesty and openness because, like I said, it's the only way we're going to do it. The only thing I'll add to that, totally different topic, but a little bit back to sort of Pat's points earlier on home preference and that kind of thing. You know, I understand the lawyers come down, and I understand the litigious nature of things today. And I do see a benefit to working with local companies. They hire people locally, hopefully. That money gets, you know, spent back into our local economy. It doesn't go to Tampa. It doesn't go to Orlando. So I think from a policy perspective, there is a, not even a perceivable benefit, there's an actual benefit to working with local companies. I don't think that that's a negative. And, you know, I understand why we couldn't do that in this case, Tiffany. Thank you for explaining that. But I do think it's important that we try to promote local business as much as possible. Thank you.
But didn't he say we couldn't do that because of the federal?
Yeah. On this one. Yeah, I was speaking more generally about.
Yeah, we, and I think we try to.
We do.
Hire local and
we do.
Local businesses.
Yeah. That was the first time I'd seen it so close, which is why I asked the question.
Okay.
Skin in the game, right? So local companies that they're going to be driving on the
driving
roads,
on our roads,
be walking on the sidewalks. It's always nice, and I agree with you, and I agree with Mr. Molliver. And this is a Jay. I think this was a good discussion tonight. And Kevin, thanks for you getting involved as well. And you know, we've all said it tonight, but there's a lot that government does, right? And there's some things that we know we have to do, and some things that maybe we do that people could argue about whether we should do them or not do them. You know, you talk about putting concerts on outside or whether we should offer free ice cream to everybody. By the way, if you vote for me, I would do that. No, I'm just kidding. But there's all those kind of things. But the one thing we know that we need to do is take care of people. And public safety is that number one thing that there is no question. It's not a gray area. So this is important, and I just appreciate everybody from the CEP, the county, Chief Banner, thank you for all your time. I'm sorry, I forgot your last name, but thanks for being here as well. And I had that written down, I just forgot it, but thank you for being here. And but it's important that we all get together and go through this. And one way or another, we're going to have a better 911 system tomorrow than we had yesterday in both the city and the county, and that's what's important. So that's exciting, and I appreciate everybody having this discussion. Thank you, Ms. Rich, thank you for all that you've done in the last few weeks to get these discussions going. So thank you.
And I'd like to ditto on what you said and what
Justin said and what Brent said. I mean, I just want the newspaper to know that we do know our job is to protect the public. And that's why we're here. We do things to protect the public because we care about our citizens. If it were not for our citizens, we would not be sitting here. But I love people anyway. So if I wasn't sitting here, I'd be doing something to help them. And with that, thank you, Sheriff. Thank everybody for coming. And have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Good. Yeah, I appreciate it. Good discussion. Yeah.